This is the Portland Art Museum Podcast, a channel between the museum and you. Our goal is to amplify community voices through conversations and personal stories. And we're here to facilitate respectful dialogue, debate, and the free exchange of ideas. To participate, submit your idea at pam.to/podcast idea. We invite you to connect with art through your own experience, voice, and personal journey. Relevant links and transcripts for each episode are available at portlandartmuseum.org/podcast. I'm Brandon Young, production hand lead at the Portland Art Museum and an artist in the past three Monster Drawing Rallies. This year, we celebrated MDR for the fifth time, inviting a record 100 local artists of all ages to make as much art as they can in an hour. Each piece is then sold for a flat rate of $35 as a fundraiser for free youth programs here at the Portland Art Museum. In addition to raising money, MDR is a beloved community event where all art lovers come together to listen to music, eat good food, and witness the vibrancy of Portland's art scene in action. MDR is one of my favorite events at the Art Museum, and I love participating. As a member of the production team, my job is very physical, and it's always a pleasure to sit down and do some art on the job. For the first time ever this year, the Portland Art Museum podcast had an outdoor podcasting studio in the museum courtyard during the event. The podcast studio was a place where anyone could sit down and talk about who they are, their relationship to MDR, and what art means to them. The person conducting the interviews is Emma Ganger-Spivak, a student intern here at the museum who, along with ongoing projects in the Learning and Community Partnerships Department, has been assisting with the production of this podcast this summer. Her effort spearheading this series represents the culmination of her podcasting work. What you're about to hear is the third episode in the series we are producing from those interviews. In an effort to intervene as little as possible, we decided to organize the interviews into random groupings so that the interviewees can speak entirely for themselves. First up, we have local pianist Lori S. Bird, who originally was passing through just to play a bit on the piano currently located in our courtyard thanks to Piano Push Play, but ended up being drawn in by the spectacle that is MDR.
I've been here all pretty much this afternoon, this whole entire afternoon, and I didn't realize that this was going to happen because my original plan was to come and play the Portland Art Museum's Piano Push Play. So I actually got a couple of hours of piano practice, and then I thought, oh man, the DJ's starting to get loud. So I thought, oh, my music is not going to be heard, and that's okay. So I decided to walk around in this area, and I thought, this is absolutely amazing. The artists and all the creativity of everything. And I basically sat and just watched people all afternoon. So,
well, that's really lovely. So so you were up here serenading us earlier on the piano. I think I heard you.
Oh, yeah. I hope I sounded good. It was a little windy, so it was kind of hard to get my music on the music thing, you know. So, but anyway, yeah.
You did sound. Yeah, you sounded great. You're a musician, though. That's wonderful. Can you talk a little bit about the role that music and that visual art plays in your life?
Oh, well, I love art anyway. Anything that has to do with, especially young children. Children's art is so real, and it's just amazing that there's a lot of talent here in Oregon, especially in Portland. So,
did you get a chance to catch our youth rally at the very start of the event today, where we kids?
Not
next year.
Yeah, but it's a fantastic event that I can actually sit and watch people, and it's pretty well packed and full and everything. So
I know you mentioned that you didn't plan to stay so long today. Maybe you could just describe for our listeners what the atmosphere is like here.
Oh, it was fabulous. Like you can't understand people because they were just like people everywhere, and it was just fascinating just to see people just come alive and getting their art out there. And maybe that's one way to make them self-known because of the art and everything. There's amazing artists here. And so...
So I'm curious if you have... sorry. have you had much experience with the Portland art scene in general? And if so, are there some kinds of events or types of art that you'd like to see more of?
I'm pretty much I'm pretty much open to any type of art, and especially sculptures, and then I love paintings and different things and stuff. And another thing that I've been taking advantage of is that there's a program called Arts for All. So anybody who carries the Oregon Trail card, it's a wonderful program, the best program that Portland can offer to Oregon and stuff. It's just really, really, really awesome. I've been able to meet famous pianists from all over the world, because and also go to the Oregon Symphony. I know at least good almost 30 people from the Oregon Symphony, because I can get in for cheaper, and I can get in to right now Portland's have an event at Portland Chamber Northwest. And it's been wonderful using the card, because I can take people with me and buy tickets for them. You know, so I just love anything that has to do with art, anything. Yeah. So.
Thank you. That's wonderful. We're actually just about out of time.
Oh, okay.
But that was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next guest, an artist himself, came out this year to support a friend who was drawing for MDR. Sit tight to hear about his particular variation of photography, as well as a discussion of what else he'd like to see in the local art scene.
So I'm Dave Benz, also known as Benzin Chang, and I'm an artist here in Portland, and I came out to support my friend Melissa Kojima, who is an artist.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned that you're an artist. Do you have a preferred medium or subject matter that you focus on?
I do what I call fakey vintage photos. So, like, I want people to have the experience when they see my art that they've, like, sort of stumbled across, a vintage photo in a antique shop or something.
That's cool. How would you describe the role that art plays in your life?
Oh, you know, it's really important to me. Like, I have a community that's around art here in Portland. I get up every morning and I work on art. I think of art almost constantly. So it's really important to me. And I feel like it's just a great thing for all of humanity.
Do you have a favorite artist, local or otherwise?
Yeah, I really love Francis Bacon, the name's escaping me right now, but I'll stick with Francis Bacon.
Cool. So I know you said you're here supporting your friend. Is this your first time at the event, or have you been before?
I think this is the second time I've been.
Cool. Do you have any favorite, like, any stories or anecdotes, either from today or from the other time you've been?
Not really. I mean, I was pretty excited the last time I came, just sort of not really expecting a whole lot, but I ran into a lot of people that I know from the art community here in Portland.
That's
and
awesome.
That was cool.
Can you just describe for our listeners the atmosphere at this event?
Oh, it's celebratory. And it's pretty cool. There's a lot of people, and I don't know. I feel like it's very sort of positive, upbeat, celebratory kind of atmosphere.
Well, you've already spoken a little bit about your relationship to sort of the arts community, but I'd love if you'd be able to talk a little bit more about the Portland art scene, if there's anything that you'd like to see more of, any certain types of events or types of art.
Oh, well, that's a good question. I'd like to see my art in other galleries. There's that. That's a really good question. I guess it's funny because I might be featured in an article in the local newspaper, and I do feel like there isn't a whole lot of coverage of the arts, like the visual arts, in the papers in town, like the Mercury and the Oregonian and, you know, you name it. Like, sometimes there'll be something, but it'll only be like a little blurb, so.
So you'd like to see more media coverage of the arts?
Yeah, in town.
As an artist, how do you know how to value your work? Is that something you decide? Is that something the art market or, you know, galleries or other institution decides for you?
You know, as an artist, and I think like a lot of people will echo what I have to say, is, you know, sort of know where you are, what your level is at your career, sort of what you're doing, and sort of compare yourself. I mean, you're not really supposed to compare yourself to other artists exactly, but if you're trying to figure out your prices as an artist, like, look at other artists who are at your level in their career and showing in the same kind of galleries, and that'll tell you what your price range should be.
How did you become an artist?
Oh, you just decide to. It's a very difficult path, at least I'm finding. But yeah, you just decide to. And everybody has to find their own path with it too.
Next, an artist you've already heard a little about from her friend and supporter, Dave Benz. This was her fourth year of participating as an artist during MDR, and you'll hear in a moment how she was challenged by, and then adapted to, the drawing time limit.
Hi, I'm Melissa Kojima, and I am one of the participating artists in the Monster Drawing Rally for the fifth year. So this is actually my fourth year. I only found out about it after the first year. Otherwise, you know, I totally would be in all five of them. But yeah.
How do you approach the timed aspect of this event? Do you prefer to spend all of your time on one piece, or try to crank out just as many as possible?
I kind of a meticulous person, so it was super hard. I actually did tests at home to make sure I could even do a piece within that time, and how I solved it was like doing smaller pieces. I found I could do an okay job for me, for my perfectionist standards, in half an hour, but I have to look at an actual timer and go, okay, wait, I gotta hurry up, okay. I only have, you know, this much time left. So yeah, that's what I do every year. I look at the time and know how much time I have left and try to gauge it that way. And so far I've gotten two done in an hour. So yeah.
Do you have a particular medium that you generally use, or subject matter that you focus on?
Yeah, I usually do colored pencil and ballpoint pen. This year I'm just doing colored pencil on black paper, and my stuff is sort of Victorian Gothic, kind of like, so I like making classic monsters and people in top hats and kind of shady looking characters.
So you kind of draw inspiration from the monster.
Definitely, yes.
Cool. Can you talk a little bit about how this event differs from the way that you normally market or sell your work?
Well, I don't usually sell my work in an auction style. I was actually talking to another artist friend and saying how this kind of event really gets people excited about buying art. I mean, because they're seeing it done live and they're like participating with the artist. And I think there's something about just seeing that happen that makes them feel like more connected with the art. So yeah, it's completely opposite of the way I do it.
Kind of on a similar note, I guess. As an artist, how do you know how to value your work? Is that something that you decide, or something that, you know, the art market or institutions decides for you?
Value, that's a pretty tricky one. Value depends on a lot of different things. If you're asking about pricing, that definitely varies with, like, you know, how much clout or prestige you have. like an emerging artist, even if they're just as good as a established artist, are not going to be able to charge as much just because they're not known. Yeah, and that kind of sucks. So I think a lot of it actually has to do with, like, you know, who says you're valuable or not. And it really sucks, but that's just kind of the way it is.
How would you say, you said you've been here 4 times, or this is your 5th time?
My 4th time,
your
yes.
4th time, okay. Do you have any favorite memories from past MDRs that you've gone to?
Yeah, the first time I drew, we had, well, they still have this, the Pip Donuts. And I was right there in front of Pip Donuts, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is that heavenly smell? And I realized that it was them, and it, like, it kind of took me through my whole session. Like, I just loved drawing while having this wonderful scent.
Finally, an MDR artist who is a seasoned pro. This year, she prepared for the pressure of the drawing time limit by creating her own extra efficient medium so she could make as many works as possible.
Heidi ho, I'm Carnival, and I'm an artist here at the Monster Drawing Rally.
Is this your first time as an artist here?
It is. It's my first time.
Had you visited before in some other capacity?
I wanted to come last year, but it was so hot. I decided not to come. So yeah, nope. This is my very first time being here and my very first time being part of it.
Gotcha. Do you have some kind of strategy in mind for when you're up there at the table?
I do, actually.
Tell me about it.
This week I made spray paint all week long out of vegetable gel dye for food. Actually, gel food coloring. And so that's going to be my first layer. I'm going to spray paint the whole background and then we'll move on from there.
Is that your normal medium of choice?
I use water medium a lot of times, so it's pretty close to what I normally use, yeah. I do use spray paints, and they're usually natural, not synthetic.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that the process of art making will be different for you in this context?
You know I've been thinking about it because I am a pretty, like, slow drawer. So I actually made the spray paint so that I could probably speed up my process to do more than one in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Kind of in a general way, can you just talk a little bit about the role that art plays in your life?
It is my entire life. Actually, I believe creativity is my religion. because I show up and help others to be creative. Hi, ambulance. Hope you're taking care of somebody out there.
Ambient background.
Yes. I show up and help others to be creative. I preach creativity to anybody that will listen. And I also... believe that my creativity is my connection to something bigger than me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how you became an artist? Is there a particular moment?
I picked up crayons when I was 5, and I haven't stopped since. So I've been an artist my whole life, which has been a long time.
As an artist, how do you know how to value your work? Is that something that you decide, something that the art market decides?
That is a very great question. I think the jury's out on that one. I tend to, like, give my art away or every once in a while I'll sell something, but I am really not interested in the, like, gallery system or anything. I'm more DIY, and so value is a strange thing, so... Up until now, things are, like, less than $100 for me.
Cool. Could you just talk a little bit, I know this is your first time here, just about the atmosphere of the event that you've witnessed today? Is there anything that stands out to you?
Well, it's very jovial and happy. Everybody's excited to see art and be around art. You know, Portland is a very creative place, and this is, like, the perfect event to be right smack in the middle of it.
Yeah, so you just brought up the Portland art scene. I'm curious to know if there are any types of art events or types of art that you'd like to see more of here?
Well, I mean, this is a great event, and I love the fact that the museum has kind of opened it up to all different kinds of artists to show up. So, you know, like something where more artists can be involved would be super great. Where there's not like an even playing field. And I think that's what this is.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Art Museum podcast. For more information about the free youth programs that Monster Drawing Rally raises money to support, visit portlandartmuseum.org/learn. This episode is the third in an ongoing series produced from the interviews we gathered in the Monster Drawing Rally podcast studio. Make sure to subscribe to the Portland Art Museum podcast so you'll be sure to catch the next episode, in which you'll hear more of the many voices of Portland's art community. This episode was produced by John Richardson and Emma Ganger-Spivak. Thank you to Blick Art Materials for sponsoring this event and Mark Orton for providing the interstitial music. Finally, thank you for listening.